have a really special guest tonight. We have Chris Overstreet with us. How many people love Chris? Just a fun little story. In 2011, I had just finished first year and was in Chicago for Jesus Culture. I was working, and after the conference, there was a chance to stay a few extra days and go on a ministry trip with Chris O. And I'm not the typical evangelist, so it kind of scared me a bit because I was like, oh, great, what is that going to mean? But I had seen something on his life that I knew I needed and that I wanted. And so I said, let's go, I'll do this. And it was probably 48 hours of the most significant impartation in my life, in the life of leaders, watching this man minister out of who he is and out of the heart of God that has love for people and to meet people where they're at. And I watched him just teach and teach for hours. And it was a surprise to me because we don't always get to see all of the things that make somebody who they are. Like sometimes you see them on stage and you think that that's, you know, that's all they do. But there's this hidden life, this secret life. There's a life where somebody stands and prays for people for 3 hours because they're so hungry and he doesn't complain one time. And so I left that trip knowing that my life was impacted, and especially like in areas of words of knowledge and things like that, I saw a significant difference from before and after. And what we get to be part of by being here is that we get to receive impartation. We get to receive the things, even as he speaks. It's not just words, but he's releasing who he is. And so I just want you to stand and invite him as he comes.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Well, it's an honor to be with you tonight. And I'm just excited about what the Lord is going to do. I mean, I feel such an anticipation in the Spirit tonight. I know that God is here. How many people appreciate the worship team? Can you guys give them a hand clap tonight? Wow. Well, I recently just got back from Argentina, and I brought a team with me there, and in just a moment, I'm going to have a few of them share some testimonies. Before I have them come up and share some testimonies, I want to give you a little bit of history about Argentina for me. 1999, I met Chris Vallotton at YWAM, Youth with a Mission, in Chico, California. And in that time, Chris prophesied over me. He called me out, and he said, you'll be an evangelist like Carlos Santacandia with miracles, signs, and wonders following your life. And he said to me, you need to read the book, Listen to Me, Satan, by Carlos Santacandia. And at that time, I had no signs and wonders following my life. I had a bad attitude following my life, but no signs and wonders following my life. How many people can relate to that one time or another? He had a little bad attitude, but no signs and wonders. So I read that book, and I began to get lit on fire with the reality of the power of God moving through my life. And around that time, I was listening to Bill as well, and he was talking about the kingdom of God and how it's really the kingdom of God that lives inside of us that wants to be expressed through us. And he was sharing the message on how every person can openly display the raw power of God. And I said to myself, my God, I want that. I began to read Carlos's book, and I said, Lord, one day I'm going to meet Carlos, and I believe that I'm going to go to Argentina. I believe that there's something of the Spirit for me in Argentina. Years went by, and God began to put a grace on my life for evangelism, equipping people, and miracle signs and wonders. And you know, I realized something. That was over 17 years ago. 17 years ago, I received that prophetic word. Over 17 years ago. And I was thinking about it just recently. I just now feel like I'm stepping into the office of an evangelist. And there's been training and equipping that's been taking place in my life. God's been doing a deep work in my spirit. Yes, there's been evangelism. Yes, there's been equipping. But I just recently felt in the last year or so, the grace of the Lord come on me as a fivefold evangelist to equip the body of Christ in miracles, signs and wonders, and deliverances. And so fast forward, about 6 months ago, I had a dream. How many people love it when God speaks to you in dreams? Well, I'm going to tell you a dream that I had. I was in a grocery store. Now, you know when you're having dreams about a grocery store, you know, you're either hungry or God is really talking to you. And so I'm in a grocery store, and, you know, it's a big grocery store. And I'm looking around at, you know, different things in the grocery store. And all of a sudden, I realize in the dream, I realize I'm in Argentina. In the dream, in this grocery store, I said, my gosh, I'm in Argentina. In the grocery store. This is amazing. And so I wake up. Shortly after that, I get an invitation to go to Argentina. And so when I go to Argentina, you know, it's a desire to connect with different individuals that I've admired and just that have impacted my life without me really even knowing them. How many people know that you can receive from spiritual fathers without even knowing them? Just by honoring them. And so I'm in Argentina, and I said to my host, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to go to this grocery store. So I saw this grocery store that looked like the grocery store that was in my dream. So I go to this grocery store, and sure enough, it's the exact grocery store that was in my dream. And I tell my host, I said, why in the world would God send me to this grocery store? I mean, I saw it months prior. And so we're getting our stuff, and we're checking out, and there's a lady behind the counter. And as soon as I saw this young lady behind the counter, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said to me, it's for her. So I told my host, I said, the fire of God is going to come upon her life. Something is about ready to happen in her life. It's the Spirit of the Lord resting on her right now. And so we step up there, and I don't speak Spanish. Poquito español. How many people are fluent here in Spanish? Why don't you pray for me, intercede for me, that I get that. I know a little bit, like, como esta, you know, Jesus Cristo te ama, you know, I know that. But I want to tell you, after this trip, something got lit up inside of me where I want to become fluent in Spanish, because something got lit up inside of me for Latin America. And so we approached this young lady, and my interpreter, my host, was there. And as soon as we stepped up to her, I introduced myself. And she said this, as soon as you stepped up, I felt the fire of God come on me. She was a Christian. And she said, I felt the fire of God come on me. And I said, the reason why I'm here is because of you, I believe. I believe the reason why I'm at this grocery store right now is because of you. And so she took a break, and we prayed for her, that the fire of the Holy Spirit came upon her. She began to weep and cry. The Spirit of the Lord gripped her. The Spirit of the Lord began to show us in the Spirit of some things that she's been praying for over 12 months ago. And in that moment, the Spirit of the Lord commissioned her into missions. She's been praying into missions for the last 12 months, and she needed the word of the Lord to launch her into missions as a missionary. How many people love it when God speaks differently? If you have a heart and you know that God is calling you into missions, and there's a burning fire, flame in your heart to preach the gospel in other nations, other countries, I want you to quickly stand to your feet right now. I want to pray for resources to go to the nations. So those that are around them, if you want to just lay your hands on them. I was talking to a gentleman right before tonight, and he was sharing with me a desire to go to nations. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the call. You are the one that puts the desire in people's hearts. So, Lord, I pray in the next 24 days, Lord, that you would send some of them on the mission field. Well, we pray for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for a commissioning, Lord. There's some individuals that have been praying, Lord, and desiring to go to the nations and have not went yet. But, Lord, I believe that you're calling them and you're sending them to the nations in Jesus' name. I want to share a quick testimony. Two of my interns had no money to go to Argentina, but they heard the word of the Lord. Get this. They heard the word of the Lord that they were to go to Argentina. They showed up at the airport with no money, believing that God had called them to go to Argentina. Within 48 hours, God provided for them, and they went to Argentina. And one of them made such an impact in Argentina that they've actually invited him back to be a part of a large conference there in Argentina to influence them there. Isn't that amazing? Just give God a shout of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'd like to invite some of my interns to come on up here, the three of them. This is Austin, this is Candace, and this is Jonah, and these guys.
You use that one, give them this one.
These guys were in Argentina with me, and let me just say this. God used these guys in such a powerful way. I just think God's not looking at an age category. He's looking for hearts. I've taken people 82 years old before to another country to do missions, and the power of the Holy Spirit moved through their life because they were hungry to see God move through them. So God doesn't look at age. He looks for a heart condition that says yes. If you have a yes in your heart, God will use you any place, anywhere, anytime. Amen? All right. Go ahead, Austin.
All right. Awesome. So we got to Argentina. We left on Monday, my birthday, and we traveled 24 hours, got to Argentina, and the first morning, the guys' house, we split up into girls and guys' house. The guys' house was so hungry to see what God had to do in the city that we were in. We just hit the streets at 8 a.m. in the morning because we had to be somewhere at 10, and we thought if we could just get out there, we could see what God was going to do. And so we got out, and five hungry men, hungry for God to move, and only one translator. And so you can only imagine the troubles that caused, because everybody's got a word from the Lord to share. And so we're out, and we're just loving on people, exploring the town, and we walk up to these three ladies who are working in a park, and they have the orange vests on. And one of the, Jonah actually stepped out, and he asked them, he said, "Do you guys have any pain in your body?" And all three of them were laughing. They're like, "Yes, we have pain all over our body." And he said, "All right, awesome. But God's going to touch you right now." He said, "I'm not going to lay my hands on you, but I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and to touch you. And he's going to touch you and you're going to be totally healed." So he begins to pray just a simple prayer, "Holy Spirit come, Espiritu Santo ven." And when he prays that, two of the ladies are like, "What's going on?" And then the third lady is like freaking out because all of a sudden the power of God starts touching her. All the pain leaves her body to begin to experience the presence of God. And they begin to exclaim, they're like, "You've got to show our friends this. You've got to come and talk to our friends about this." And so immediately we followed them, and I said, "Yes, vamos, let's go. Let's go with your friends." And so they lead us to a group of older people who are probably above 40, 50. That doesn't mean you're old if you're 40 or 50, but...
Hey, that's not old, man. I'm almost 40 years old, bud.
So they went with a group of bunch of 40, 50-year-old people, 11 or 12 40-year-old, 50-year-old people, and we just start... telling what happened to these three ladies, and they start sharing with the people what happened to them. And then the Holy Spirit begins to move, and people begin to get touched, and all five of us, using one translator, begin to speak words to each person in the group, and people start getting healed in their body. And then one of the guys, who that morning was asking the Lord for an opportunity to open air preach, begins to speak the gospel, and 11 people raise their hands to receive Jesus into their life. But it didn't stop there, because if you're going to get them born again, like the disciples did, they laid hands on everyone in Acts. It talks about they lay hands on everyone they laid hands on. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we said, "We're going to go for the baptism of the Holy Spirit." So we start praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one lady starts bouncing up and down like she's on a pogo stick. And the fire of God is touching her. She falls out and is flopping around on the ground. She's not in a church. She's in a park, flopping around on the ground because of the power of the Holy Spirit. She gets up and she says, "I saw a man in a white cloak. I saw a man in white robes. And he was looking at me, and he commissioned me to work with the youth of Argentina." And so all within about 25 minutes, God touched 11 or 12 people's lives. I can't remember the exact number. 11 or 12 people gave their lives to the Lord.
Yeah. Praise God.
So for me, when I was in Argentina, I experienced the love of God for people in a way I had never experienced before. You know, you hear like let's be compelled by love. And you hear that phrase and you know it. But on this trip, I experienced it in a way where I could feel it tangibly leaving me when we would talk to people. And there was one night that we were in a train station with a group of people. And Sarah, she's another intern. She was with us. And we were walking and we both saw this man. And as soon as I saw him, we walked past him and I looked at her and we both turned around and immediately went to him. Because it was like, I don't even know how to describe it, but we were just moved with God's love for this man at the same time. And we sat down with him, and it turns out he's homeless and he's living on the streets. And when I saw him, he had some tattoos on his arms, and there was a tattoo of a heart. And when I saw the heart, I heard God say he really loves his family. And when we asked him if we could pray for him for anything, he said, yeah, my family, I'm not with them right now. I have two kids and I really love them and want to be with them. And so I just began to tell him about the tattoos on his arm. And I said, you know, God spoke to me and he said that he loves your family and he's for family restoration. And as I was sharing it, I could just feel God's love for this man, that he would send us Americans all the way down to Argentina for this one man to know that God is for his family. And he just wanted to give him hope. And it turned out he had a 10 pain in his ear, and one of the Argentinians who was with us, we prayed for him, and his pain immediately left, and it went down to a zero, and he was so in awe. He was like, oh my goodness, like what is happening? And Sarah asked him, have you ever felt the presence of God before? Because he knew God, he had been to church before, but he had never felt his presence. So we told him, just put your hands out like this. And we just said, Holy Spirit, come. We didn't touch him. We just said, Holy Spirit, come. And we asked him what happened. And he said, I can feel like this weightiness in my hands. And it was just so incredible to see this man just moved by the love of God. And when we left, he was smiling and he was joyful and his whole count had changed. And so it was so beautiful to see God and his love for each individual person. Every person that I encountered, it was like this intimate moment with the love of God. And I could almost feel like honored. I was like, Jesus, thank you that I get to be a part of these people encountering your love like this for the first time. So it was so amazing.
Awesome. Come on, Jesus. Isn't Jesus amazing? He is so amazing. You know, on this trip to Argentina, we saw God do many miracles. We saw God heal polio, deaf ears, just radical stuff. And I had the privilege to go and speak at a church that's never really gone after the supernatural before. And while I was at the church, I'm speaking, and I'm speaking on identity. I'm speaking on the love of God. And the Holy Spirit just whispers to me, and he says, I want you to stop speaking because I'm in the room. And I want you to stop speaking, and I want you to go after healing right now. And so I didn't have really any words of knowledge, and that's kind of what we were going to do. We were just going to go after words of knowledge and just see what God was going to do. And so I gave out some really simple words of knowledge, very simple. Lower back pain, knees. And then my other teammate said bad eyesight, and I think a left ear or something like that. And so we had these people stand up. And there's probably, it was a smaller church, there was probably 15 people standing up. And we said, okay, before we pray, I want you to test out your bodies and see if Jesus just healed you. And if Jesus heals you, I want you to wave both hands in the air. And so we had them test out their bodies, and all of them start waving their hands in the air. None of us prayed for them. We didn't pray any prayer. The Holy Spirit just healed them all right there. And we had people coming up with bad eyesight getting healed. And I just said, God's continuing to heal bad eyesight. And as I said that, my translator looks at me and she starts weeping. She just starts crying and she says, I can see. She's like, I can see to the back of the back of the church. And I was like, wait, what happened? She says, I couldn't even see to the back of the church. I couldn't see the people's faces in the back of the church. And Jesus healed me. So give it up for Jesus.
Thank you. You can take it down there. Isn't that awesome? I just love how God just likes to do supernatural things through ordinary people. How many people have... As you were hearing these testimonies, you were in your heart saying, God, I want to be used supernaturally outside of the four walls of the church as well. You were just feeling that burning in your heart. How many people, you know, you've been asking God for courage to be able to step out and share your faith for maybe the very first time, you know, for the very first time outside of the four walls of the church? Can you raise your hand if it very first time? Okay, you don't have to be ashamed of it. Everyone starts somewhere. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I believe that there's a grace coming on your life for the power of God to begin to flow through you. So go ahead and stand to your feet right now if you want God to use you outside of the four walls of the church. Maybe you've already done it before, but it's something that's not a part of your life right now, and you're saying, I want this to be a part of my life. I want the supernatural. I want miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to drive out devils outside of the four walls of the church. I want to cast demons out of people. I want to heal the sick. I want to lead people to the Lord. I want to do this. Because I want to tell you, anything that you see in the life of Jesus, it's for you. It's the believer's ministry. It's the inheritance for every single believer. So I want to just pray for a grace to come on your life to do what Jesus said you could do. And I want to pray for opportunities this week for you to be able to exercise the grace that God has deposited inside of you. All right? Just put your hand on your heart and I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for every individual that's standing right now that is hungry to be used by you. And many of them for the very first time, Lord, is desiring to step out and share their faith and move in signs and wonders. And Lord, I pray for a grace to come on them. I pray for an activation of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that they would find themselves this week seeing the sick healed. This week, leading people to the Lord. This week, casting devils out of people. This week, prophesying over folks. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the activation of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, right now, I pray for faith in the Spirit, Lord, that they will be able to see it, Lord. Open up the eyes of their heart to be able to see right now of what's about ready to take place through their life. Lord, I pray for that. I pray for the creativity of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of their heart, Lord, to begin to see right now. Let them see themselves moving in miracle signs and wonders, healing the sick, Lord, casting devils out of people, Lord. Praying for individuals to receive Christ. Lord, we pray for that in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you receive that, say, I receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we did something like that in Argentina. It was something similar to that, maybe a little bit different. And then we sent them out one afternoon. And wanted to give them opportunity to demonstrate what God had put inside of them. And we asked them in the night session, how many people stepped out and shared their faith and saw someone get born again? We saw over 100 hands go up. Now, we didn't ask them, like, how many people did you lead to the Lord? You know, there was 100 people at least that got led to the Lord. Could have been well over 200 people. But just in one equipping session and them activating their faith, they personally saw 100 people led to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You know, we were just expecting the grace of God to move through your life and for God to do incredible supernatural things through you. I want you to put your hand on your heart as we jump into tonight's word. I believe that there's a grace tonight for the Lord to do something very supernatural in hearts. And I want to just pray for just the condition of our hearts and for the grace of the Lord to come and to empower us. Father, you know everyone here. You love everyone and you're a good God. And I pray, Father, that there would be such an anointing tonight. I pray for an equipping grace. I pray for an anointing. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation here. I pray that lives would never be the same. I pray for an awe of God. Holy Spirit, come. Come in power. Come with authority. Come with demonstration. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even those right now that are just watching by Bethel TV, I believe that there's an anointing that's going to come into your living room, wherever you're watching, and I believe that your life will never be the same after tonight. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Well, before I preach the message that the Lord gave me, if there is any pain in your body right now, I want you to quickly stand to your feet. Any pain in your body. We always pray for the sick at the end of our services. But I wanted to just give room for the Holy Spirit to heal people, touch people before we even laid hands on people later tonight. So just hold your hands out as if you're receiving from a great healer named Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, that you are amazing. You you pay for their sickness, disease, whatever thing is going on in their body. And we thank you that there's healing in your presence. And we take authority over any demonic spirits that is causing sickness and disease in people's bodies. And we command it out of them. We thank you for your healing presence. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you just to test it out right now. Try to do something you couldn't do before. If you just felt pain, physical pain, leave your body, and you're 100% healed, I want you to wave your hand like that. If you're 100% healed, all the pain just left your body. Before we pray for anyone tonight, you're 100% healed. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just keep holding your hands up. Keep holding your hands up. If all the pain just left your body, just right there. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep holding your hands up if all the pain just left your body. Yeah, you in the back. Yeah. Just keep holding your hands up. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to just hear just one testimony, because we're going to pray for the sick tonight as well. And even as I'm preaching, you know, the Lord is here to heal. So those that you haven't received 100% healing in your body, just trust the Lord tonight to heal your body, that he's going to do it. I'd like to hear just a quick testimony. Yes, this young lady that stood up. Yeah, right there in the middle. Yes, ma'am. I just wanted you to quickly come on up here. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Just quickly come on up here and just share what Jesus did for you. Isn't God amazing? Just tell us your name and tell us what happened.
My name is Lena King, and I was not expecting this at all. I was raised 28 years Catholic, then Pentecostal, and now my husband helps at the Hope Center, and we are always doing outreaches and praying for people to be healed. I just turned 40. I'm a leap year, and I've asked the Lord all the time just to heal me. And when it hasn't been done, when I've gone to places, I'm like, okay, Lord, it's not on your time. And it's just on your time, not my time. So today, my friend brought me. We're from Oroville, and I had very severe pain on my left leg. I have like arthritis. I have like 8 kids, and so my bones have been deteriorating, and I didn't tell anybody my pain, because that's the way I go about it. You know, I take care of my babies and everything, and I stood up by faith. I really believe what I've heard, and I know there's healing in his name, and so I stood up, and I said, okay, Lord, if you're willing, I'm willing to receive. And as he was speaking, I could feel warm all over my leg,
Jesus.
And it stopped.
Praise be, Lord. I wanna pray for her really quick. I had a dream of Oroville, and I saw the Spirit of the Lord moving over these apartments in Oroville. I believe there's a connection with you in these apartments somehow. And I believe that the Lord is going to use you to be a sign and a wonder in this area. And there's apartment complexes, and I saw these apartment complexes. This makes sense to you. I had a dream about these apartment complexes and the Spirit of the Lord falling in apartment complexes. And it has to do with gang members and the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord ripped gang members in Oroville,
And God was restoring individuals' hearts. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a great revival that's going to take place in Oroville. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, God, you're going to use her in signs and wonders and miracles and deliverances in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that she will lead many people to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, tonight my message is really about purity and power. And I believe the Lord is doing something right now in the body of Christ. I believe he's purifying the hearts because of the outpouring that's coming. In the 1950s, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we know that there was many healing revivalists and healing evangelists that was spread out over America. And it was said that in the 1950s that at one time there was around 300 different tent revival meetings taking place through the United States. And not just the United States, in other locations. But one of the things that God has been speaking to me about is purity of heart. Purity of heart. One of the reasons why that stopped, and how many people know that revival never has to stop? But one of the reasons why it did is because of compromise. Compromise in leaders, but also compromise in the church. And at that time, there was this competition spirit who had the largest tent meeting, who had the latest and greatest, biggest meeting, who had the greatest miracles taking place, you know, and there was all this competition. And I felt like the Lord is speaking to the church today, right now, purity of heart. Purity of heart. I believe he's talking about the condition of the heart to the church right now. But I also believe that he's talking about power, because God is preparing the church to move in purity and power. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And I'm going to be emphasizing the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear about the fear of the Lord because it's been taken out of context a lot of times. But I want to talk about the fear of the Lord through the revelation of God being a good father. God being a good, good, good father, but also God being a just judge. So I'm going to talk about the fear of the Lord tonight and how God wants to bring a purity of the heart. Purity of the heart and the believer. And then I'm also going to be talking about power being displayed. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. And if you're ready to receive God's word tonight as a prophetic word in your heart and your spirit, I want you to hold your Bible up right now and say, Lord, you're speaking to me about my heart and about my lifestyle. And I receive your word tonight. Lord, I believe that my life will never be the same. I know that you're calling me into a lifestyle of purity, but also power. I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are in Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 25. If you're there, say, I'm there. Okay. It says, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Also, like for you to turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. It says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. I've been having this visual picture of what Jesus did to Satan lately in my mind. How many people just daydream? You guys daydream? Yeah. Well, we know that Adam and Eve was in the garden, and Adam and Eve, they compromised. And when they compromised, they gave up something. They gave up power. They gave up their authority.
They gave up their dominion. And God, in his loving, compassionate view of humanity, said, I'm sending my son, Jesus Christ, and I'm taking back what was stolen from them. I'm taking back from Satan what was stolen from them. I'm going to purchase sons and daughters. Let me just declare right now that the cross of Jesus Christ is a bold proclamation, prophetic statement of deliverance, of freedom, of justice, of forgiveness. It's a prophetic statement of complete deliverance for humanity, for everyone that will receive and believe Jesus and his message. So after Jesus' death, we know that Jesus did some business with Satan. I like to picture it this way. Satan and all of his demons, thinking in their mind that they just conquered Jesus. They're thinking that they conquered Jesus. They're thinking that they're the boss. And Jesus takes a hold of Satan's throat. Takes a hold of his throat. I picture it this way. Takes a hold of his throat and says, I'm taking the keys back. Taking it back. And so this message tonight about purity and power is really a message birthed out of a revelation of the grace of God. The grace of God. I had a dream recently. God speaks to me in dreams a lot. And I had a dream recently. And I was talking to people in the dream about the fear of the Lord. And in the dream, I was sharing with them about the fear of the Lord. I said, you need the fear of the Lord in your life. And as I began to talk a little bit longer, I said to them, you have a perversion of grace. The grace message that you're speaking is actually a perversion grace message. Because you're actually empowering people to live in captivity. I want you to turn to your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Now, as I share this message tonight about purity and power, I'm going to share with you some very honest, transparent things from my past. And all through it, my heart is to really brag on the grace of the Lord Jesus to empower us to overcome. Are you there? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Notice how the grace teaches us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope of this glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I recently just got a new Bible, so all my highlights are not there anymore, so I'm kind of learning how to navigate my way through my Bible. How many people that's happened to you before when you get a new Bible? You're like, man, where's all my notes? You know, that's where I'm at right now. 1 Peter 2, 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation. How many people know that each and every one of you have been chosen? So that revelation alone will break a spirit of rejection off of you. The revelation that you've been chosen by God will break a spirit of rejection off of you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I want you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 14. And then we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord through grace. And I'm so excited about tonight's message because I know that the Lord is going to do something very powerful in hearts. Proverbs 14, verse 25. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. So in this particular dream, I told them that they needed the fear of the Lord and that they had bought into a perversion grace message, a message that tells them it's okay to sin, a message that tells them, well, you know, you're already forgiven of all your sins, so it really doesn't even matter how much sin you sin because you're already forgiven. So keep sinning. That's not grace. Grace actually teaches us to deny ungodliness. There is a perversion message of grace that is floating around the body of Christ, and it is stealing the confidence in believers. It is stealing the confidence in believers. I had a dream years ago of it was young people in the dream, but I saw these young people, and they began to pick up these little snakes. And they were small little snakes, and they began to pet these little snakes. And in their mind, you know, it's just a snake. What is this little snake going to do to me? Just a little bit, you know, just petting it just a little bit. What is it going to do to me? And in the dream, I warned them. I said, that snake is going to destroy your life. That snake is actually going to turn into like a boa constrictor and choke the life out of you. Put that snake down. And then I went to another location, and there was someone that had picking up snakes, and they were doing the same thing. And I told them to put the snake down because the snake was there to deceive them. And I believe that the Lord is liberating right now, liberating the body of Christ, liberating the body of Christ through the simple message of the fear of the Lord that produces purity and power. Grace produces the fear of the Lord. It's an awe and a reverence of his love. The true fear of the Lord is a reverence of the love of God, that we realize that we have been first loved by God. And why wouldn't we want to live in awe and a reverence of him? Because how much he loved us. After I got saved, and I'm not going to go on too much of my testimony tonight, but just to give you a little bit of my testimony, I got saved when I was 18 years old, when I was in jail. And God transformed me. I weighed 400 pounds at the time. And, you know, I was a very violent young man. And in fact, one time in my life, because of drug abuse, I beat my younger brother. And I thought it was actually funny to beat my brother. And when he cried, I would laugh. And I know that I had demons inside of me because no one would do that in their right mind. And when I received Jesus Christ in my heart, I felt demons leave me. Not only did I feel my sin, I was aware that my sin was forgiven. I also was aware that demons left me. And I think sometimes in the body of Christ, it seems as though that some people don't like to talk about the devil. They don't like to talk about the devil because in their mind, they think, well, if they mention the devil, that means that they give the devil power. So they totally deny the devil, and they totally don't even believe that the devil has power. So they go to one extreme. And they think, well, if I don't even talk about the devil, if I don't even mention the devil, if I convince myself the devil's not even real, then the devil won't even do anything to anyone around me. And then there's the other extreme, that everything is a devil. Everything is a demon. So there's a demon under there, there's a demon everywhere. And I believe that God, he's bringing a holy perspective. But here's the deal. The fear of the Lord does something inside of us. The fear of the Lord does something inside of us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does something inside of us that says, I don't want to have anything demonic in my life because Jesus purchased me. After I got saved, I was born again, I was saved, but I was still looking at things that I should not be looking at. And it was still compromising. And I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest because I believe that being real and honest helps people. I don't want to entertain people. I don't want to act like something that I wasn't in the past. I want to help people grow in the grace of God. I want to help people get free. And I remember struggling with looking at things that I should not be looking at. And I remember struggling with masturbation. I was addicted to masturbation. Now, some people say, well, you know, that's just your soul needs something. Listen, I know what a demon is. I know what a demon is. And some people say, well, you just need to manage your sex drive. And I understand that. There's a part of that. But listen, you must flee from sexual immorality. You cannot manage sexual morality. You cannot manage porn. You can't manage it. You flee from it. You don't look at it and say, well, you know, it's not really that bad. I've only done it, you know, maybe one or two times this month. I don't really have an issue. It's not really getting too bad. I'm able to manage this thing. No, 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 no. You're picking up a snake and it is destroying your life. I remember being so insecure because I was bound to this stuff. And I'm so glad that I did not hear the message of, oh, you're okay. Oh, you're all right. You don't really have that big of a problem. Oh, you know, you just look at it a couple times, you know, here and there. You don't really have a problem. You're not masturbating like five times a day. So, you know, you don't really have a problem. I'm telling you, the grace of God teaches us to deny unrighteousness. And there's these grace messages that are not grace messages, that are actually doctrines of demons that keep people in prison. I'm going to preach it tonight. Because it steals people's confidence. It steals people's ability to be who God has called them to be a son and a daughter. I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord will release a reverence in your heart to say, God, this is who I really am, and I want to walk like you've told me that I could already walk. And I said, Lord, I was honest with God. I believe that you've got to be honest with yourself. I believe that you really have to be honest with yourself when you're hungry for freedom. You have to be honest with yourself. See, I thought I was the only one as a young man. In 1998, I thought I was the only young man that struggled with watching this stuff. Struggled with masturbation. I thought I was the only one. And I felt so bad because I had already given my life to the Lord. And no one was talking to me about it. The Holy Spirit was talking to me about it. The Spirit of the Lord was speaking to my heart and says, that's not you anymore. It's not who you are. This is who I've created you to be. And I said, but God, I can't do this on my own. I need freedom. I need deliverance, God. Please help me. God, you know, every time I do that, every time I look at that, I feel terrible. I feel dirty. I don't want to live like this anymore. I have no confidence. God, help me. I want to tell you the grace of God is powerful. I want to tell you, I had an eating disorder. I weighed 400 pounds. The same grace that came on my life to help me overcome the eating disorder was the same grace that was applied in my life to help me overcome that area as well. It's God's grace. It's his mercy. See, grace isn't just to save us. Grace is there to empower us to be like Jesus. To empower us to walk like Jesus walked. I think about this sometimes, you know, what would Jesus do? And I know there's all kinds of messages out there that will justify certain behaviors. But I cannot imagine Jesus watching porn. And saying, well, you know, I'm just managing it. Because it's only happened, like 5-10 times this year. So I'm just managing it. I don't really have a problem. Yes, you do. I can't imagine sitting across from Jesus and Jesus telling me, yeah, I don't really have a problem with porn. Now, I'm managing it. It's not managing me. You know, I've only looked at it, like 15 times this year. So I've got it all under control. Well, does your wife know about it? No, I'm managing it. No, no, no. It's managing you. It's destroying you. I've witnessed personal friends of mine that thought it was okay to manage it. And it completely destroyed their marriage. Their kids are wondering, why is not dad around anymore? No family is broken to pieces because he thought he was managing his sexual addiction. Jesus never said, manage sexual immorality. He said, flee from it. You know, sometimes people have these thoughts, and I've had these thoughts. Well, no one ever knows. I've had these thoughts. And I want to say something, not bragging on myself, because there is nothing inside of me that I could say, I did this in my own strength. Me losing 200 pounds, I always point people to Jesus. I wasn't saying, oh, it's this special diet I went on. No, and I bless people that do that. But listen, for me, I know what it's like to have a demon living inside of me that tried to control me. And I also know what it's like to have the grace of the Lord come over me. And it was God's grace that set me free and helped me lose 200 pounds. And sometimes, you know, people have these thoughts, and I've had these thoughts as well. Like, well, you know, you can look at that. No one will know. You could do that. No one would even know, Chris. You could do that. Yeah, but he would know. And my sin would find me out. He would know, and my sin would find me out. I feel the Lord is saying to the church right now, such a message of purity. Fear the Lord. And it's not something that people try to do on their own. They just submit to the grace of God, and they say, God, I want all of you. I want to have a holy reverence of the goodness of God. You're a good, good, good father, but you're also a just judge. I remember in 2005, I was driving in Red Bluff. And while I was driving in Red Bluff, I had this random thought. And, you know, in my testimony, I don't share certain things that I used to do, you know, when I was younger. But I had this random thought to smoke crack cocaine. And how many people know you can have a thought and it be a passing thought and it not be your thought? And you can have like something just resting on your head all the time. Well, that was like a bird, you know, flying by and pooping on my mind. Pooping on my mind. But I have a responsibility to take thought, every thought captive. So I could allow that thought to be like, oh, wow, yeah, crack cocaine. I remember what that was like. No one even knows at Bethel Church that I used to smoke crack. I could actually go score some crack right now. No one would even know. How many people know that Satan is a liar and a deceiver and a tempter? Amen. I'm telling you this right now. The reason why I'm sharing this message right now is because there are some people that have been tempted in their minds. There are some people that have been tempted in their minds to have an adultery affair. And I'm telling you right now, those are not your thoughts. Those are not your thoughts. Is it a demonic assignment that's trying to come against you? And the Lord's doing something right now in the spirit. Isn't it interesting? You know, after Jesus finishes his fast, the tempter came. Satan came in and began to tempt him and began to ask him all these questions. Ask him all these questions. And Jesus responded. He responded with the word. And then after Jesus resisted all the temptations, the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. I believe that the Lord is releasing strength. He's releasing strength in the body of Christ to overcome. Because of the end time harvest and the souls that are coming into the kingdom of God, he is releasing strength in the body for purity and power. Now, I know that this isn't necessarily across the board in certain circles a very popular word to be able to share, but I'm telling you, it's the word of the Lord. And God is releasing a confidence through humility and the fear of the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Because, you know, there is the fear of man, which we're going to talk about that in a second. You know, sometimes we talk about the fear of man, but we forget that the fear of God actually detoxes the fear of man. And sometimes we talk about honor, and I'm just going to say it. Sometimes we say, well, I want to honor that person, but the reality is you're afraid of that person. You think you're honoring them, but you're really afraid of them. Well, I don't want to interrupt them. I just want to honor them. No, no, you're afraid of them because you don't feel valuable. So you say, well, I'm just honoring that person. I had a conversation with one of our staff members, and I said, you know, honestly, I feel like that some of our students that come to this school, you know, we teach them honor. And I wrote a chapter in my book, Practical Guide to Evangelism, Supernatural Guide to Evangelism. And I wrote in that a core value of honor. And I think sometimes what happens is we take things out of context and we allow the enemy to come in and says, well, you know, you need to honor that person. You need to honor them out there. You need to honor wherever you go, just honor them. And what happens is when we allow the enemy to come in and we begin to feel afraid of people and we call it honor, that is not honor. It's demonic. Because God, you know, they hit on it today. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And that sound mind means a disciplined thought patterns. Self-controlled mind. That is what God gives to us. And the Lord is releasing such a strong confidence, not in our own strength, but in His strength and His grace that lives inside of us. I feel the Lord is saying right now to the church, judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. After I got saved, for whatever reason, I was around some teaching that made me feel like I was better than other people. And there was no love and there was no grace. There was no love, there was no grace. And I heard teaching that told me that I couldn't associate with people that were not in faith. And it was teaching that was totally out of context. And so my sister, you know, she was hanging around some people. And I said to her, which she was actually doing the right thing, because she's trying to be an effective witness. And my sister was hanging around these people. And, you know, and I said to her, I said, hey, you're not really a Christian then. If you hang around these people, you're not really a Christian. Could you sniff a little Pharisee there? Yeah? So I thank God for that because, you know, after my deliverance of that Pharisee spirit, God began to tell me, hey, I actually want you to go hang out with them and I want you to be a witness. You know, those people that you're judging? Yeah, those people in the bars, the very thing that I rescued you from, the very thing that I saved you from, yeah, I want you to go love them. In fact, I want you to love the hell out of them. Listen, here's the deal. You will not have authority in the spirit realm. You give up your authority as soon as you partner with the spirit of judgment. For example, you see someone out in the community and you see that they're addicted by drugs. And you think to yourself, you know, why don't they just get a job? What's wrong with them? Why don't they just get a job? I can't believe they're making Reading so bad. I'm going to preach it tonight. We have all these lofty ideas that are out of judgment. What we don't realize is we actually give up our place of influence and authority to help them. The Lord spoke to me, he says, anytime you judge someone and you don't have compassion for them, you have no authority in their life. The moment you judge someone and you don't have compassion for the demon that's resting on them, you don't have compassion for that soul when they're being controlled by a demonic force. Some things are won only in the spirit. God showed me this. He said, I want you to begin to pray in such a way out of compassion for people. How can you win people to the Lord? So God, you showed me years ago. How can you represent me if you're judging people? How can you be a witness, Chris, if you're judging people? How can you place them in my hands if you're judging them? Lord began to show me about there's power through compassion, seeing through his lens and realizing that some people, not all people, but some people, they're controlled by a demon. Some people that it's even in poverty, they're actually controlled by a demon. Some people that are dealing with addictions, some of them are controlled by a demon. And God is giving authority to the church to see into the spirit and have compassion for people and take authority over demonic spirits that rest on people. And rip it off of them. You know, right now, across America, there is a whole homosexual agenda. I'm going to share some things. And I believe that the Lord is saying to the church, do not judge them, but have compassion on them, because many of them are bound by demons. I had a friend that he thought he was supposed to be a woman. And he was going to get a sex change. That was his plan. He was going to go get a sex change. And there were so many people that made fun of him from my city, St. Louis, Missouri, where I'm originally from, that he moved to California, San Francisco. When I was in St. Louis, I saw him briefly as he was dressed as a man or as a woman. And he had taken hormone pills, so he grew breast and long hair. And I knew that I could judge him in my heart, or I could really have compassion to see that this is not really him, but it's a demon that's trying to control him. And right now, what's happening in America, in Oregon, the state of Oregon right now, that children that don't even want, that want to have a sex change, don't even have to ask their parents now. From what I heard just recently, that's the case. But here's the deal. The church can be like, oh man, I can't believe the state of Oregon. Can't believe it. And begin to judge people. Or we can have a view of compassion for demons, for the people that are bound by demons, to get the devils off their back. So my friend, he's went to San Francisco, and there was a ministry that picks him up off the street. And you know, he's dressed up as a woman. And they think he's a woman. And they just love on him, just love on him, just love on him, just love on him, because they think he's actually a woman. And he goes to he goes on a ministry trip with him. It's a Christian thing. Goes on a ministry trip with him, and he finds himself in Weaverville. Well, guess who is preaching at Weaverville this night? Chris Vallotton. Chris Vallotton is preaching that night, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving. And this young man, he goes into the women's restroom because he's dressed up as a woman. He thinks he's a woman. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to his heart. The Spirit of the Lord says this: talk to that person up on the front row. They know Chris Overstreet. And they have his phone number. I went to high school with this individual. So this individual, he calls me that night and he says, hey, I'm at this town, you know, Weaverville, California. And I feel like God's doing something in my heart. I feel like God wants me to tell my leadership that I'm actually not a woman, but I'm a man. What do I do? I said to him, I said, listen, I feel the Lord is, if he's already started the process right now in your heart, ask him. He's going to show you step by step by step what you're supposed to be doing. So he just prayed and he went to his leadership team. They were shocked, but they embraced him and said, we're going to help you through this. We're going to walk with you through this. We're going to love you. We're going to embrace you. We're going to help you. And now he tells all the other students. All the other students actually thinks he's been a woman this whole time. You know, so the young ladies that actually thought that he was a young lady, they were like, what? But every one of those students, some of them have questions, but every one of those students embraced him. Shortly after that, yeah, give Jesus a hand clap. Shortly after that, he moves to another location. And he goes through the school of supernatural ministry in another state. He goes through 3 years. God transforms his heart, transforms his life. He meets his wife. He gets married and has a family. And now God has commissioned him as a missionary. This is his desire, to be a missionary to Thailand for those that are thinking about having a sex change. I believe the Lord is doing something in the spirit about purity and power. You give up your power when you judge people. You give up your power when you judge yourself. When I weigh 400 pounds, I look at myself in the mirror and say, look at you. You're so fat. You're so ugly. You're a failure. And I just judged myself. And when I was judging myself, I had no power for change. I had no power for change. So I was judging myself. How many people know that shame actually keeps you captive? And a prophetic word of the Lord came. And the word of the Lord said this: stop giving yourself a hard time. I'm not giving you a hard time. There's a great man of God inside of you. And I want you to see what I see about you. Went on and said this: every time you give yourself a hard time, you're giving me a hard time. And I don't want you to give me a hard time anymore. And as soon as I received that word, I could no longer look at myself in the mirror and criticize myself. I looked through God's love, mercy. I looked through hope. And I believe that tonight something significant is going to happen in people's hearts. Because some of the thoughts that individuals have been having here are not your thoughts. But you've been entertaining those thoughts. And I believe the Lord wants to empower people. It is God's design for everyone to move in purity and power. You were designed to move in purity and power. How many people receive this word tonight? We're going to pray. And I know the Lord is going to do some sovereign things in hearts. Because there's some of you here tonight that have actually bought into possibly, and it's not your fault, it's just bad teaching. Let me just say this. Not every Christian teaching is actually Christ's teaching. Not every teaching that floats all across the land, all over the world, books, are not Christ-centered. Any grace message that teaches someone that it's okay to compromise is not the Spirit of the Lord. I believe God's releasing a spirit of discernment in the body of Christ. I'll never forget this one time. I was with a group of individuals, and there was this guy that, you know, he'd get these detail words about people. Detail words. And so he begins to operate in what everyone thought was the word of knowledge. And when he's telling me all these things about my family, about, you know, different things, I don't feel one bit of the Spirit of God. He was pointing to himself. This individual had a conversation with one of our friends here and identified that this individual was not operating on the Spirit of God. I believe God's giving a spirit of discernment to us. Some of the messages of grace is not the Spirit of the Lord. And we're going to pray tonight. And I believe that the Lord, through his love, he's a good, good God, is giving us the fear of the Lord, which releases strong confidence. Is this making sense tonight? I know it's not a popular word, but it's the word of the Lord. Because where we're going as a church and a nation, God is looking for no compromise. He's looking for absolutely no compromise. No compromise. Because America and nations are coming in to the Lord, and God's looking for a church that is healthy and whole. And we're going to do something. We're going to pray, and the Lord's going to. And I know that right now that even as I spoke, the fear of the Lord began to grip people. And there is almost, I feel it in the spirit, there's almost a trembling in some people's hearts right now. That you're desiring the fear of the Lord. You're desiring that. And I can feel it inside here. And the Lord's giving it. It's a gift. The fear of the Lord is a gift from God. So I'd like for you to stand to your feet. We are going to pray for the sick tonight. And a little bit later. We have a ministry team here tonight that would love to be able to pray for anyone here. We know that many of you have flown all across the world for a touch from God, and God wants to touch you. God wants to bring healing to people's bodies, bring healing to people's souls. But if this message impacted you tonight, and you recognize it is the word of the Lord for your spirit right now, word of the Lord for your heart, a purity and power. Listen, God's been talking to me about areas in my life that, you know, if I was to say it, you know, like, oh, that's no big deal. But it's a big deal to me. Because God's highlighting it. God's been talking to me about little things like texting on my phone when I'm driving. He's been talking to me about, you know, speeding. He's been saying, you know, Chris, I'm calling you to a higher level. I'm calling you to a higher standard. And in my natural mind, I say, it's not really that big of a deal. Isn't it interesting how we try to justify things? It's not really that big of a deal, God. No, you're breaking the law, Chris. It is a big deal. Do you think you're above that? And he's been dealing with my heart. He's been dealing with my heart, just things. And I know it's the Spirit. And I know he's doing it all across the board. And I feel the Lord is saying, I want to birth the fear of the Lord in hearts. Where there's no compromise. And if this message has made sense to you tonight, and you feel a burning in your heart, I want to welcome you to come down here right now because I'm going to pray and I know the Lord is going to grip hearts. And it doesn't matter, by the way, anyone thinks about you. doesn't matter. Because the fear of God breaks the fear of man off of you. And I'm going to pray just a simple prayer tonight. And I know the Lord's going to do something. We're going to have some music that's going to turn on. If you want to make your, if you want to say, yeah, this God's talking to me about this, but I can't get down here because there's not enough room. Just take a step into the aisle right now. The word of the Lord came to me this evening. And he said, there's individuals here that are actually thinking about committing adultery. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, God wants to have mercy on you because those thoughts that you're having is not God. And God does not want you to blow up your marriage. God wants to bring healing. I'm telling you, this is what I'm feeling in the Spirit right now. God wants to bring healing and restoration and forgiveness in your marriage. Do not listen to those thoughts. And if you will repent, God will spare your marriage. You don't have to go down that road. Just put your hand on your heart. I'm going to pray, and I know that there's some people that have just been having these thoughts. I'm going to pray. I'm going to command some things off of people. Some of you, even now, you feel something just left you. You just felt it lift off of you. I'm going to pray, and I know the Spirit of the Lord is going to really grip people with the fear of the Lord. Because there's many people that's been tempted here. And I want you to raise your hand. You don't need to do that. You know, I feel the Lord is giving grace to people. I just want to take authority over demonic spirits. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over every demon, every demonic spirit that has been trying to come over minds and lie to them and deceive them. In the name of Jesus Christ, off! Leave them! Be gone! Though we pray right now in Jesus' name for the grace of the Lord to come. Lord, I pray for a branding of the fear of the Lord. Lord, through your grace, because you're a good, good God. And you're a good, good Father. You're a good, good God. And you're a good, good Father. There's individuals here that you've been thinking about suicide. And I want to tell you that is not you. That is not you. That is a demon that's been trying to come against you. I'm telling you right now by the Spirit of the Lord. There's people here that have been constantly thinking about suicide the last 21 days. The last 21 days it has been so heavy on your life. I'm telling you right now from the compassion of Christ, I feel it so strong. God wants to deliver you tonight. That is not you. You need to know it with everything inside of you. It is an evil spirit that's trying to come against you, and it is not you. And if that's you, for any reason, that word makes sense about the last 21 days you've been having these thoughts. I want to tell you, it's not you. I've had those thoughts in the past. When I was a young man, I was suicidal, and I had those demon thoughts running through my mind all the time. And in fact, one night, I actually plotted my death. I had a shotgun in my hand. I know what it's like to have thoughts that are not mine. And if that's you, we're going to pray, and God's going to deliver you tonight. Something's going to happen. If that's you, those thoughts have been trumming against you the last 21 days. Raise your hand right now. Is there anyone else? You don't have to be afraid. God's here. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. and I command those things off of them right now. In Jesus' name, leave them right now. Leave them right now. Leave them right now. Leave them right now. In the name of Jesus, just those that are around them that raise their hands, just lay your hands on their head. Leave them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you, God, for the life, the long life that you have for them. Lord, the great call of God that's on every one of their lives, Lord. Father, we're praying that you would use them in power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. And Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, that there'd be such an awe, Lord, an awe of the love of God and the grace of God and the empowerment of the believer. Lord, we thank you, God, for that. We thank you, God, for great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace. Thank you, Jesus. I've never done this before, but there's people here that need to repent. There's people here tonight, you need to repent. You need to repent of certain things. That you think you've been managing certain things. But you know in your knower in your heart right now that God's birthing something of the fear of the Lord. And he's depositing something inside of you and he's saying to you, you know what? That's not grace. And you've been compromising. And God's gonna give grace right now. So we're gonna pray a corporate prayer right now. And if anyone knows that they need to repent, I want you to repeat after me, okay? Is this making sense? And you just say this, Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you love me so much. That I'm your son. I'm your daughter. You love me. You care for me. And I'm not compromising anymore. Lord Jesus, thank you for the fear of the Lord. I receive it as a gift in my life. Thank you for your blood. That cleanses me, that makes me clean. Lord, empower me to live the life that you're calling me to live. Thank you that my life is going to make a difference in eternity. In Jesus' holy name. Why don't you shout the name of Jesus tonight? Give him a shout. Well, I love you guys, and I care about each and every one of you, and that's why I shared this word, and because I love you guys, and I felt it so strong. Had I not shared this word tonight, I would be in disobedience, and so I had to share this word tonight. I love you guys. There's grace, and the Lord is releasing the fear of the Lord. And we just receive it for our body, but also those that are watching online and across America and across the world for the church. Amen. The church, the fear of the Lord. Amen. Give God glory.
Wow. What an amazing word, hey? How many of you are so refreshed by the truth?
Thank you for joining us. On our website, ibethel.org, we have our pastor's itineraries who may be visiting a place near you. Steve and Wendy Backlund will be in Denver, Colorado, March 10th through the 13th. And Chris Valentin will be in Horsehead, New York, March 16th through the 19th. Now, we want to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests, you can email them to pastor@bethel.tv. Our team would love to pray for you. And be sure to send us your testimonies as well. We've recently heard a testimony from a young woman who visited our healing rooms. She'd been diagnosed last May with severe cancer and had undergone 16 sessions of chemo. Some children ministering at the healing rooms released the Holy Spirit over her, and instantly a golf ball-sized tumor completely disappeared. We pray that no matter what diagnosis you've been given, that you would receive a childlike faith right now to believe for God's best in your life. He loves you and loves to restore his children. Thank you for watching Bethel TV and joining us and our Bethel family around the world. We hope to see you again soon.